May I preach to you this morning in the name of our God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's see this. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
So it's funny, when I first read this gospel, it did something to me that it doesn't normally do. It actually returned me to my years in middle school. And some years those were. You see, and some of you here actually knew me at that time. When I was in middle school, I was not a cool guy. Like, not at all. Like, really not at all. I hardly had any friends, and I was made fun of and picked on. You know, there were times when I would share my lunch with the teacher just so I would have someone to sit with at lunch. It went down like that. But, so I wasn't the man. But there was somebody in our class who was the man, and his name was Stephen. And I'll never forget Stephen. I mean, he really was the man. He would walk in the class, and, you know, they'd be like, "Oh, it's Stephen." And then they'd be like, "Go Stephen, it's your birthday. Go Stephen, it's your birthday." And they would say that, and it wasn't even his birthday, but they would say it anyway, right? You know, because that's, I guess, how we used to cheer people up back in the day. And like, "You're the man." And so I saw that, and I wanted it. Like, I really wanted that, but I wasn't getting it. So I had my own plan. So what I did is, right around when I was in seventh grade, I figured out the solution. Regardless of whether or not people outside were going to say that, I was going to say that to myself. And so whenever I showed up to school, you know, I'd walk in, and what I'd be hearing in my head was, "Go Edwin, it's your birthday, go Edwin, you know." And I'd hear that again and again, and I loved it. I thought it was pretty great. And so what does this have to do with the gospel? Well, you know, it's interesting because when I first heard this gospel, when I first was listening to this gospel, it was around the time that I made this self-discovery. And I was so relieved because I realized that, you know, when I heard about this Pharisee and the way that he prayed, you know, I took solace that perhaps I wasn't the least humble person who has ever lived. And so it worked out. But, you know, this gospel doesn't exist to make me feel better about middle school Edwin. This gospel exists to teach us about humility. And the lesson about humility is a really important one. And we learn this lesson of humility by being shown two men in prayer. The first, the Pharisee, is literally praying, thanking God that he's not like other people, including the tax collector who's, you know, praying somewhere next to him, and goes on to pray by flouting his wonderful attributes. Okay, that's one way. The next guy is this tax collector, and as it says, he doesn't even look up to heaven, but he's, you know, beating his chest and saying, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." And so, here we have these two prayers. And Jesus makes it pretty clear that the tax collector went home justified, whereas the Pharisee did not. So I heard tons of preachers talk about this. And when preachers talk about this, and oftentimes they talk about the impact this had on, you know, their standing in heaven. And they figure that, you know, this man, the tax collector, was asking God for forgiveness and was having his sins absolved and was preparing for himself a place in heaven, whereas the Pharisee was not. But here's the thing, I don't really care that much about what this meant for their souls or what this meant for them in eternity. I'm more interested in what it meant for them that same day. And in my imagination, I have an idea about how that day went. And so here we go. So the Pharisee, you know, all finely dressed in linens, you know, finished praying and ended up rushing off to the temple. It was his day to read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. So it's all good. But it wasn't exactly all good because, see, on that day, the Pharisee in training, who was supposed to open the scroll to the right place for him, opened it to the wrong place. And so he shows up, and the scroll's before him, and he starts to read, only to realize that he's reading the wrong thing. So there's some murmurs, and he finds the right place, and he reads the right thing. Okay, so that happens, right? And after the service, this young Pharisee in training comes up to him to say, "I'm sorry." But before the words can come out of his mouth, the Pharisee starts yelling at him and berating him and says, "If you embarrass me like that again, you will never become a Pharisee." So that happens. And so this Pharisee, he's still mad, and he goes and he joins some friends for dinner. And he was still so mad and distracted that he did something he'd never done before. And he started eating his dinner without completing the rite of washing his hands, which actually was a minor sin or offense in those days. And so, you know, it's pointed out to him discreetly. And upon realizing this, he stands up and he leaves the meal in shame. So that's the Pharisee. Now the tax collector finishes praying and goes to work. And he goes to work expecting to have a light day, but as he arrives at work, you know, this tax collector in training explains to him that he made some mistakes and some errors, and they're going to have a lot more work to do today than they would have otherwise. And as he's apologizing again and again, this tax collector says, you know, it's okay. Nobody's perfect. We'll figure it out together. And so they figure it out together, and it takes all day, and he's exhausted. So he's exhausted, and when he goes to eat, he too forgets to wash his hands. So when it's pointed out to him, he apologizes. He completes the rite of washing his hands, and he finishes his meal with his friends. And so, yeah, you might say, everyone okay, you weren't there, you have no idea what happened, and yeah, I wasn't there, I have no idea what happened. But what I do know is this, that in today's day and age, I'm assuming back in the day as well, you know, the people who are able to admit their faults, who are able to have awareness of their sins, who are able to, you know, deal with the fact that they aren't perfect, that the people who do that are oftentimes the folks who are best able to forgive themselves and to forgive other people. You know, that the people who have a sober sense of themselves are often folks who can best deal with embarrassing situations. And that the people who, you know, have some humility in their lives are oftentimes the folks who are able to live their lives most freely and to love most freely. And so I believe that that's exactly what the tax collector did, and that's the life that the tax collector lived. And if you ask me, that sounds a lot better than, you know, being so incredibly blind or denying of your own sins that you can't admit them to God. That sounds so much better than, you know, being so sort of ashamed of making mistakes that you can't forgive yourself or other people. And so you see, my friends, I think when God, through Luke, is talking to us about being humble, it's not about feeling bad about yourself or having low self-esteem. Perhaps it doesn't preclude being your own cheering section. But I think what God is getting at for us is that it is important for us to be aware of our imperfections, to be aware of our sins, and to, along with that, to be aware and grateful for God's forgiveness so that we can live our lives forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, and being able to live and love freely. You see, my friends, that is the humility that I think Jesus is calling to. And I think that is a humility that allows the tax collector to go home justified. And so how do we do this, right? How do we build this humility? Well, there's a practice that I learned from St. Ignatius, not directly since he died like 800 years ago, but that I learned through Ignatian spirituality, and it's called the examine. And the examine is a practice where at the end of the day, you look back on your day, you reflect on it. And so I want to invite you to try this on. You see, the way of love, or the way of love that we're focusing on today, is prayer. And we'll hear more about that later. But, you know, part of the way they describe praying is just dwelling with God. So I invite you to dwell with God in this way this week. At the end of your day, reflect on your whole day, from start to finish, from the time you woke up to the time you, you know, put your head to the pillow or anything like that, right? Reflect on the whole day. Now, feel free to give thanks for the wonderful things, because that is important. And I also invite you to think of 1 to 3, no more than 3, but 1 to 3 things that you could have done better. 3 mistakes you made, perhaps, you know, 3 sins even, whatever it is, 1 to 3 things that you could have done better. Reflect on them, learn on them, and then ask God for forgiveness, and then thank God for that forgiveness, because our God is a God who forgives right away. So I invite you to do this because I believe that, you know, if we develop a practice of, you know, being more sort of soberly aware both of our own sin but also of God's abundant forgiveness, then we will be able to live and love freely, just as that tax collector did and just as so many do today. And that we will be able to live into our lives and forgive ourselves and forgive others. So my friends, you know, I have an idea about God that, you know, it's impossible for you to be your biggest fan because God is. Now, I believe our God wants us to feel great about ourselves. I believe our God, you know, wants us to celebrate our gifts because our God gave us those gifts and wants us to celebrate them and share them. My prayer is that we, through a sense, yes, of our imperfection and also a sense of God's grace, will accept and really embrace the grace of God. Because it's through fully embracing the grace of God that we can then pay that grace forward. Amen.